Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, November the 6th. It's Election Day. So that means we get to wait all day long. So do your business. Do what you got to do today. Take care of your job. Take care of your situation. And sometime tonight, the results will come in, probably 7 o'clock Central Time here in Texas. And that's when the numbers will come in. I could be wrong, but I think the polls closed at 7 here in Dallas. But, of course, we have El Paso, which is on a different time, that part of Texas. So I think altogether it'll be 8 o'clock by the time we close the whole state. But it should be an interesting race. I mean, right now all we have is early voting results. And the early voting results are interesting but incomplete. It's a little bit incomplete. So, you know, you can get off on this tangent or that tangent about what it means. I would simply caution everybody just to wait until the numbers are on the screen, and then that's the best way to measure some of the early vote. But the early vote has been very, very good this year. I mean, the numbers are awesome. Lots of people voting early everywhere, not just here. Something like 34 million people in the country have voted early. I happen to be one of them. So that's what, you know, to me, that's the dilemma, to forecast what's going to happen today. Number one is the number of people who are voting is much larger than usually vote. And number two, you don't know who's going to vote today. So who shows up early and who votes today, if we knew their profile, I would feel more comfortable with telling you how it's going to go. I mean, I still think Ted Cruz is going to win, and I think Governor Abbott is going to win. So I feel that way. But I just, I don't know what the numbers are going to look like until we see something on the screen later on. So just do what I do on Election Day. I usually think about other election days, and I've got a few thoughts about that coming up a little bit later. You know, I have a post, not everything is about the elections, of course, and I have a post coming out tomorrow about a very interesting development. President-elect López Obrador of Mexico will be inaugurated on the 1st of December. That's about a month away. And he's invited Nicolas Maduro, the dictator of Venezuela, to the inauguration. A lot of people are wondering, why is he doing that? In fact, 40,000 Mexicans have signed a petition telling him not to do that. But Mexico has always invited these kinds of people in the past to the inauguration. I mean, Fidel Castro would always go to the inauguration, Evo Morales, Hugo Chavez. So I'm not really surprised that he did it. Not really surprised at all. It's interesting to see the reaction. Something like 40,000 people have signed a petition saying, why are you doing this? That's an interesting reaction. I never recall seeing anything like that before in Mexico. But I think it's all for show. I think when, you know, he'll come, he'll be at the inauguration, they'll probably shake hands, maybe do a toast like they do at these inaugurations, and then Maduro will go back to Caracas, and that's probably the end of their relationship. I think López Obrador understands that there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that Maduro can do for Mexico, absolutely nothing. Right now, López Obrador has to be looking to the United States because the United States has to maintain a strong economy. That's the best way for López Obrador to succeed, is if the United States has a strong economy. So not expecting much to come out of this. It'll be, as I say, just for the show, but not much more. I know the idea of having a man like Maduro or Evo Morales down in Mexico or Díaz-Canel in Cuba. I mean, the idea of having people like that in a democratic process, like an inauguration following an election, the idea of that is sometimes troubling. And the question I have is, if Maduro comes, and I'm sure he is, will President Trump go? Will Vice President Pence go? My guess is no. They may just say, no, we're not going, if they're going. And that may be that may not be what López Obrador wants. So we'll see how it turns out. I don't think it has lasting consequences, but it is interesting. It is interesting how sometimes you invite somebody, you make somebody else angry. I remember back in 1981, in the summer of 1981, that the then president of Mexico, López Portillo, decided to do an economic summit, North and South summit. And he invited President Reagan, of course. And he also invited Raúl Fidel Castro. And President Reagan said, if he goes, I don't go. And President Reagan got his wish. Fidel Castro did not attend the economic summit. It was very interesting how that turned out. That's not going to happen here because this is an inauguration and that was an economic summit. But as I said before, I wouldn't make too much out of this relationship between López Obrador and Maduro. I think it's just more exhibition than anything else at this point. They don't have much of a relationship, or at least there's no basis here for a long-term relationship. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from my friend Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpy. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sisiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sisiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos' website on the show information right under the show description. You'll see the link. We also have a link for my friend Duke Machado, who's a car dealer. And if you're looking for a car, well, check him out. Just click on that and see what Duke, how Duke can help you out. On this day in history, you know, we always like to go back on this day in history, 1532. That would be, is that what, 584 years? Is that it? 580 years ago today. 586, I guess. 586 years ago today, a Spanish explorer by the name of Cabeza de Vaca ended up in Galveston, Texas by mistake. They ran into a storm. They almost lost their ship. They pretty much got stranded in Galveston, Texas. And from there, they made their way to Mexico. But that's the first Spaniard, and we believe the first European, to make it to what we now call Texas. There may have been other Europeans. I could be wrong about that. Maybe some French explorers may have been here before because of the Mississippi River. But I think this was the first Spaniard, and he landed in what we now call Galveston, Texas, which is an interesting history of that town as well. Well, I say that on Election Day, I have a tendency to go back and remember other election years. And just, you know, just to reminisce and maybe what I was doing, and I thought I'd share with you some of those. 1976, that was the year, of course, that Carter beat Ford. And I remember I went with a friend of mine to a campaign celebration. This is when I was living in the Maryland area. And when we got there, the election was so close, nobody had a clue who was going to win. And it turned out that Carter won the next day, but it went into the morning. It may have even gone into the afternoon before the final results were in. That turned out to be a very close election between Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford. 1980, that was Reagan versus Carter. That one was supposed to be very close, and all the experts were telling us that it was going to be very, 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 very close, and that ended up being a landslide. I mean, that was over by 9 o'clock Central Time. I mean, that was a blowout by President Reagan. What they say about that election is really interesting. What they say is that on Friday, there were many undecided people, and over the last 72 hours of the campaign, the bulk of the undecided moved to Reagan, and that's why Reagan was able to put together the landslide that he was able to put together that night. Well, 1984, 1988, I remember those two. Those were big nights for the Republicans. 84, Reagan re-election. 1988, Bush running for his own term as president of the United States. Both of those were landslides. Of course, the 84 Reagan landslide was historic in numbers. The 88 Bush landslide was pretty big for a first-time run for the presidency. I believe he got 54% of the popular vote and over 400 electoral votes. That was a pretty big victory for then-Vice President Bush. Well, in 2000, I'm sure all of you remember that one. That was the one that had the Florida recount. You know, I was up all night that night, pretty much thinking Bush had won it, and then we learned later the Democrats threw it into the courts, and that kind of messed up everything for about 30 days. It was a little different in 2004 when President Bush ran for re-election. He won that one easily. I mean, it was close. It was, 51-48, I think, in the popular vote, and Bush got 290 electoral votes. So it was not a landslide by any means, but it was clearly a victory. And by the next morning, Senator Kerry conceded, and President Bush was reelected. Pretty good victory, reelection victory. I think he got like 3 million more votes than John Kerry or Senator Kerry that particular night. Now, one of my most interesting elections was 2012, and that's because I sat down at 6 o'clock that night, 100% convinced that Mitt Romney was going to defeat President Reagan. I just felt that way. You know, the polling data was like too close to call all over, and I just felt that Mitt Romney was going to win. And for a while there, it seemed that he was going to win. And I remember specifically, I guess around 7 o'clock Central Time, that the late Charles Krauthammer, you know, Dr. Krauthammer of the Fox News roundtable, he said that he thought Romney was going to win. And I said to myself, well, you know, if Dr. Krauthammer feels that way, then I've got a pretty good reason to feel the way I do. And for a while, it certainly felt that way. For a while, you know, you kept looking at the screen, and there was Governor Romney. For much of the night, he was up in the popular vote. And then I think when they got to California, that's when it really closed in, or I believe at that point that President Obama passed him. But then it was pretty tight. It was still pretty tight. And then I think Ohio was the one who put Obama over the line. What's amazing about that election, looking back at it now, is that, you know, President Obama got something like 338 electoral votes to Mitt Romney 208. So it was 330 to 208, I think it was, for the total of 538. But what's interesting about that election is when you look at the six or seven states that put President Obama over the top, Ohio, Florida, one of the Carolinas, I think Colorado. When you look at those states, the difference in Virginia was another one. When you look at those states, the difference in the total popular vote was less than 200,000 in all of those states combined. And that included, of course, two big states, Florida and Ohio. And Florida was like 29,000 votes out of 7 million or 8 million. So it was just a very close election. And maybe to me, that was one of the most disappointing nights, I think, that I can ever recall watching an election, because I really thought Romney had it at 6 o'clock and for much of the early evening. I thought Romney was going to win. Of course, that takes us to Trump 2016, which is probably, at least of our generation, this is the upset of the upsets. I think for our generation, this is like Truman was, I suppose, for our parents in 1948, when everybody thought Truman would lose and he won. Well, the amazing thing about Trump is that I was never sure he was going to win, I have to be honest. I was never sure he was going to win. I thought he had a chance to win, but it was, you know, the conventional polling and all of that was so bad toward Trump. But then around 9 o'clock, you just began to get the feeling that he was going to win. And he did, of course, early in the morning. So anyway, looking back at some of these elections, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of interesting to do that and remember what you were doing in other election days. I guess someday I'll tell you about this one when we look back at this particular election. We're going to do that, by the way, on Wednesday. When we do our show on Wednesday, we will look back at the election of 2018. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we will talk to you later.